Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Nasan Nakesef L'Anshe Mishmer. As we have learned in the Mishnah and the Sugyas, the halacha is that if somebody steals from a ger, Rachmanel Tzlon, he swears falsely, denying, and then the ger passes away. Gershon is Gayer, Kekotin Shinoiladami. The Ger has no Yorshim. So the halach is, the Torah teaches us that the Gezel HaGer goes to the Kohanim. And the Torah is very specific, as we will learn, in exactly what and how this procedure should happen. Meaning that he has to give a Keren, the value of what he stole, to the Kohanim, and he has to give a Chaimish to the Kohanim. And then he has to bring a carbon asham. And as we learned, it is essential to follow that order. The Mishnah discussed the situation where he first gave, as he is supposed to, the money to the Kohanim, and prior to bringing the carbon asham, he passed away. It says the Mishnah, Nosan as a kesel lanshi mishmer, and he passed away. The halacha is that the yarshim, his yarshim, have no right, the Ganav's Yorshim, have no right to go to the Kohanim and say, since our father didn't have the whole Kapara, because before he passed away, he didn't bring the Karban Asham, you should perhaps have to give back the money. The loch is that is not the din. Nosan HaKesav L'Anshim Mishmer, they can't claim back the money from the Kohanim. Amr Abaye, says Abaye, from here we see, the Kesef Mechaper Machtza, that the money that's given does affect a kapara. Dilay mechaper, for if it did not affect any kapara, havamina mahadil yarshim. We could then suggest that the yarshim do have a valid claim to get back the money. My tama, because they could successfully argue, adata dahochla yavle. Our father did not give the money to the kohanim unless he would have a kapara. If the fact that our father gave the money only for kapara, if the Kohanim don't have to give it back, it must mean because a kapara is affected anyway. And Tosfos goes on to explain that from here we see that the Kohanim don't have an opportunity just to be moichel the Gezel HaGer. They have to accept it. Otherwise, perhaps the Kohanim could just say, we'll give it back. Asks the Pnei Yeshua that we've learned that the halacha is by gezel, by regular situation of gezel. The halacha is that, again, if somebody swears falsely denying the debt, and then afterwards admits he has to pay keren v'chaimish in the carbon ashram, we learned the halacha is that the victim can be meichel. Why over here can the victim not be meichel? So the Pnei Yeshua answers, it's very different. In the case where somebody steals from someone else, so it was his item. So since it was his item, he has a right to be moichel. But a kohanim with the gezel hager, it wasn't something that belonged to them, and therefore they don't have the ability to be moichel. The shoyla meshiv, along the same lines, points out that the gazlan, when somebody steals from someone else, he makes him lose something that belongs to him. So the victim then could say, you know what? I don't care. I'm moichel. So it's not considered as if he lost something. Here the Kohanim never lost anything in the first place that they could say, we don't really care. Because they never lost anything in the first place. The other Achronim explain, as the Gemara has explained, that there's a specific lomdus to how Gezel HaGer works. Kana Hashem, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu really is the one that receives it, and he gives it to the Kohanim. So the Kohanim perhaps have a right to be Meichel on something that belongs to them. This, however, doesn't belong to them. It belongs to Hashem, and therefore they have no right to be Meichel. The Rishonim and Achronim, based on this Gemara, also point out that Agos Maimonides says this, that from here we see that we take into consideration what was somebody's intention when he did something. And therefore, halacha is, let's say somebody collected staka for a specific purpose, and then that purpose ends up not needing the money. They collected money, let's say, for somebody who was ill, and then for his medical bills, and he ends up, Rahman al-Salam, passing away. Somebody thought that somebody needed some help, and he actually didn't need the help. The halacha is that the money should be returned. And that is the din. The money, if it was given or pledged under false pretenses, or there was a dat dahochi, it wasn't given, you have to give it back to the person who donated it. The only issue the Paiskim discuss is what would be the din if we can't identify all of the donors. So then the Paiskim say, Tzorchei Rabim should be used, made with that money. On the same way, the Mordechai, based on the same line of reasoning, says that let's say someone made a pledge to tzedakah, assuming that he had a certain amount of income, or assuming that he was supposed to get a certain income, and then it turns out that that didn't materialize. So again, we could apply the concept, perhaps, of a data dahokal and makacha. It was never intended to be given under those circumstances, and he would not be necessarily obligated to fulfill his pledge. Ask the Gemara, if we're following this line of reasoning, that data dahokha la yavle el matuf, ask the Gemara, dahokha is chatash meso balea. If a carbon chatas was designated by its owners and they passed away prior to actually bringing the carbon chatos, that the halach is that that carbon chatos should be left to die. Why should be left to die? Asked the Gemara. Tepik lechulin. It should go out to chulin because we should say that data the hocholoi afresha. Answers the Gemara. Amri chatos shemesa baleo hilchsa gemira lo de misa azla. There's a specific halach al Moshe Sinai that the chatos that the owner died should be left to die. El Ma'ata, asked the Gemara a similar question. The halacha is, Oshem Shemesa Balef, if a carbon Oshem was designated and then the owners passed away, the halacha is Yirach Yistav, we wait till the animal becomes Bamum, and we sell the animal and bring with it a carbon oila. Why? Why shouldn't we just say, the Lepik L'chulin, that the animal should go out to Chulin, that that the halacha loy Igdisha, it was never, Efesha was never designated with that intent. Says the Gemara, similar teretz, Osha Nami Hilchus the Gemirala, there's Aloch Lamosh Mesinai, the Kosh Bechatus Mesa, whatever the Aloch is by Chatus that it's left to die, Ba'oshim Roya, Ba'oshim we wait till it gets a mum and we bring it as a carbon oila. Ask the Gemara, if we're following this line of reasoning, Elameata Yuvamish Naflu Fnei Mikushchin, if somebody dies, and the brother who's supposed to, without children, and the brother's supposed to do Yibum, is it somebody who's very diseased? Tepik b'loy chalitza. Why don't we say that no chalitza should be required? Why don't we apply the concept that data dahocha like kitcha atzma? Nobody would have ever agreed to get married under those circumstances. And as Tosfos points out, we're not referring to a situation where there was already nesuin. Because certainly a woman who had nesuin is very satisfied that she's married, and what will happen afterwards, that chas v'shalom she'll have to fall to yibum, to mukashchin, certainly is not a reason to null the marriage. Taisa says that all we had over here was only erisin, that the halacha is that if somebody's mureses, she also falls to yibum. And here we could say that if we only had Erisin, she certainly never agreed to have Erisin to have to fall to Yibum to such an individual. Tosfos also asks that how could the Gemara have such a question? If so, that a person can annul a deal by saying this was never my intent, as Tosfos, so every time somebody buys something from somebody else and then he's not satisfied, if somebody buys a piece of property from somebody else and the price of real estate drops, he should always be able to say that with this intent I never intended to buy it, and we would stop all commerce in the world. Answers Tosfos, it's not really the same, because Tosfos explains that by a business transaction there is a buyer and a seller, and both have to agree to the terms. So let's say that the price of real estate drops and the seller is dissatisfied. The buyer is very satisfied, so we can't say that just because the buyer wants the deal to fall apart, the seller has to agree. Here, however, the halach is that a woman can affect kedushin on her own. And if the woman, she has the right to make a decision that she does or doesn't want to be mekudeshes. And therefore the question is, why don't we say that data the hacha loy mekachin? Another teretz that's given by the achrayim is that there's a difference between even in a sale. Yes, if I buy something from someone else and the price drops, I can't say, well, I would have never entered a deal. But let's say there's a defect an item I buy. So certainly I could return the item I purchased and say I didn't want to buy a defective item. Similarly, the Gemara is saying that a woman who falls to Yibum is like entering a defective relationship, and she should have a right to back out. The Noid Behuda also points out that how could the Gemara consider that she should be able to back out of the Yibum? Isn't this a situation of masna amash kos b'tayra, that she's making condition against what the Torah says? The Torah says that there is a din of yibum. So says the Noida Behuda, if what she intended was to say that the din of yibum should not apply to her, that's certainly unacceptable. That's a situation of masna amash kos b'tayra. Here, however, he says we're referring to a situation where she says, I believe in the halachas of Yibum, I just want that maybe my marriage should not be considered a marriage, that I shouldn't have to fall to Yibum, and that's not considered Masna Mashikos B'Torah. As the Shoyla Meshiv, that the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos actually teaches us that a Yevama that falls to a Yavam who is a Mukashchin doesn't get Yibum, only gets Chalitza. So we see that we do follow this line of reasoning. It says the Shalom Eshu, Pshan and Al Gemara's Kasha is that why do we need a Pasuk, as the Gemara teaches us in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Dalid, to teach us this halacha? This ought to be the halacha, as Al Gemara suggests, because Adata Dahachi, Lekitcha Atzma. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, by a woman getting married, Anan Sadi, we are certain that she's satisfied to be married, even if it will eventually lead to having a husband who is a mukashchin. As Rish Lakish teaches us many times in Shas, Dam Rish Lakish, Tav Lemesav Tandu Lemesav Armala. A woman is always satisfied to be married with anyone rather than being left alone. There's an interesting psak for the Maram, that however, if the Yavam is a mumer, there the halacha the Maram says is that the woman is not satisfied to have to fall to Yibum to such an individual, and there we apply the concept that adata dehochalei mekatsha. The Shulchan Aruch, however, does not pass in that way. The Shulchan Aruch says that even if she falls to a mumer, she's obligated to have at least chalitza. Furthermore, I saw Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, based on this Gemara, discusses the question that, let's say, a couple gets married and it turns out that the man is totally impotent and is unable to have relations with his wife. We say the Kedushin has a Mekechtos. Again, applying the concept of our Gemara, that the Hochi Lemikdisha, she would have never gotten married on this basis. However, he says, what will be the din if this woman wants to remain married to this man? May she remain married to him or not? Or do they need, she could remain married, does she need a new kedushin? He says perhaps a new kedushin is required, because the first kedushin, we say, is automatically null and void. He says, however, nowadays when most kedushin are done with a tabas, with a ring, and the woman still has the ring, so that automatically creates a kedushin in this, such a circumstance. Rachman al Islam. So we learned in the Mishnah that they wear mishmeiris, and as we said at the beginning of our shir, there's a specific order that had to be followed. First, the money had to be returned, and then the Asham was brought, and the Mishnah discussed two Mishmeres, Yoyorov and Yedaya. The Mishmer of Yoyorov came before the Mishmer of Yedaya, and the Mishnah says if he gave the carbon Asham to Yorov and then the money to Yedaya, the halacha is that if the carbon Asham is still alive, the Mishmer of Yoyorov should turn it over to the Mishmer of Yedaya. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Nosan Ashen LaYorov, the Kesav LaYedaya. And as Rashi explains, what happened here was that there were two improper things that happened. He gave the Ashem to Yorov before he returned the money, and he also gave the money to Yedaya in the week of Yorov's Mishmar. So two improper things happened, and we now have a Machloikis Tanoim, what should be done? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Yedaya should give back the money to Asham. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Aveira of Yedaya taking the money when it's not his week is the greater Aveira. The Chama, however, held Yachsa Asham Eitzel Kesef. The fact Yoyorov took the Asham before it received the money, they hold that is the greater Aveira, and therefore Yoyorov should give the carbon Asham to Yedaya. Ask the Gemara, and the Gemara explains as we just said, Hechidami, exactly what happened here. Ilam the Yav Asham the Yorov b'mishmar the Yorov. If we gave the carbon Asham to Yorov in its Mishmar, the Kesev Yedaya b'mishmar to Yedaya, and the money to Yedaya in its Mishmar, Zezach b'shaloi v'zezach b'shaloi. So what's the problem? Everybody got what is his. And the halacha ought to be under those circumstances that we need to understand why Rabbi Yehuda would hold that he has to return it. Amar Rava explains Rava as we said. Hach ma'iskinen. The Av Asham liyarav b'mishmar to the Yarav. Yarav got the carbon Asham in its week. The Kesev liyadaya, and the money was given to Yedaya not in the week of Yedaya, rather b'mishmar to Yoyorov, in the week of Yoyorov. Rabbi Yehuda of the opinion, kiven the lab mishmar to Yedaya, since it's not Yedaya's week, so Yedaya, you can see like Yedaya deserves a punishment for taking the money when it's not its week. Hilchach, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda holds, yachse kesev etzel Asham, Yedaya should give the money to Yoyorov. However, Rabbanan Savri, Shloikedinu Ovid b'nei Yorov. Yorov acted improperly. The kiblu Asham mikami kesef by accepting the carbon Asham before receiving the money, and therefore, according to Rabbanan, Helkach l'dukan sinan lehu. Yorov is the one that's punished according to Rabbanan. V'yachsa Asham etzel kesef, where they should give the carbon Asham to Yedaya who has the money. This machloikus achroinim. The Mashah says that this is really only a knas midrabbanan. The Meretz Chayis, however, disagrees, and he holds that this is a din d'oraisa, that under these circumstances, this is what the halacha ought to be. Tanya, says the Gemara, Omer Rebbe. Rebbe qualifies what Rebbe Yehuda said, and he says, L'div Rebbe Yehuda, in Kidma B'nei Yoyorov, V'krivis Asham, if the B'nei Yoyorov brought the carbon Asham, before the money was given, Yachs V'yav Asham Acher, another carbon Asham should be brought, after the money is given, and who should bring that carbon Asham? V'yakriyuvu b'nei Yedaya. It should be Yedaya bringing that carbon. However, he says, v'zocha alolu b'mashem yodam. The b'nei Yoyorov keep the carbon Asham that they brought. Ask the Gemara, what do they keep? Amri, asked the Gemara, l'may chazi, what are they keeping? Asham posel hu. Then we just say that this Asham is disqualified because it was brought before the money was returned. Amarava, what it means is la'oiroi, they're allowed to keep the R. Machloikus Rishonim, what will be Rabbanan's opinion in this case, do they keep the R or not? So I saw that the Achroinim ask a question. We know that Aloch is, the Gemara teaches us, Masech the Zvachim, that if a Kohen is makriv, a carbon with pigel, he has to take money out of his own pocket to replace the carbon that he disqualified. So why doesn't our Gemara, ask the Achroinim, say the same, that it should be the obligation of Yoyorov to bring a new carbon because they disqualify the carbon that this individual brought. So I saw two turutzim to this question. The Shoshanim LeDavid answers that really this whole halacha, that if a kohen makes a carbon pigel, he has to replace it, is actually a chiddush based on the Gemaras that we've been learning in Al Masechta. Because we've been learning in Al Masechta that hezek shein a nicker, loy shmei hezek. A non-discernible hezek is not really considered a hezek. And therefore, they shouldn't really be responsible to pay. It's a chiddush that they do have to pay. But the chiddush was only said by pigel in no other circumstance. Another teretz that I saw is where did the Kohanim have to replace the carbon? Where the fault, where the deficiency is in the carbon itself. The carbon itself became pigel. It's a deficiency in the carbon. However, where the deficiency is not in the carbon itself, it's only because the time when the carbon was brought, that is not a situation where Chazal said that the Kohanim have to replace the carbon. Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda, in Kaim Asham, if the carbon Asham is still existing, Yorav did not bring it yet, Yachsa Asham Eitzel Kesef, the halacha is that Asham, that your Yorav should give the Asham to Yedaya. Ask the Gemara, for Yehuda Yachsa Kesef Eitzel Asham Islay. Didn't we say that Yehuda's opinion is that Yedaya should give the money to your Yorav? Answers the Gemara, Hachem Maiskirin, Rebbe is referring to situation going the Nafik Mishmat the Yorav Vloitova. The week of Yoyorov passed, and Yoyorov never asked Yedaya for the money. And Rebbe is teaching us, for Hokamashmon, that by Yoyorov not asking for the money as the week passed, what must have happened here was that Chuli Achli Gabei, that he was Michael, his demand for that money. Tanya Idach, another Braisa, Omer Rebbe, Ledivrei Rebbe Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, Im Kaim Asham, if the Asham still exists, Yachsa Kesef Eitzel Asham. Yedaya should give the money to your Yorov. Ask the Gemara, Pshita Dachi Islay. Isn't that what we've been learning is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? What is Rebbe teaching us new? Answers the Gemara, Hacha Maiskinen, Kigoyne Nafik, Mishmatam Dahani Vahani. Both the week of your Yorov and the week of Yedaya passed. V'loy Tava. And neither of them demanded anything from each other. So we would think, says the Gemara, Madu Taima, Achuli Gabadadi, they will Michael each other. Kamash Malan teaches us, Rebbe, Damrinan, Kivin Deloy Tavei, since Yedaya didn't ask anything from Yoyorov, Yoyorov didn't ask anything from Yedaya, then the Aloch is, Lahadri Beresha, we turn the clock back, and we say Yoyorov is the one that brings the carbon and gets the money, but point out the Rishonim, now the week of Yoyorov and the week of Yedaya have passed. So we're going to have to wait to bring the carbon until the Mishmar of Yoyorov comes back again. So the Mishnah taught us, as we explained at the beginning of the Shir, Shemev Gzeli at Shalahevi Ashamai. First you have to give the money, and then you have to bring the carbon Asham. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this then? Amar Rava, the Amar Kra, Ha'asham Ha'mushav L'Hashem, L'Koyin, Mavad Eila Kapur Mashiach Chapaba. So the Gemara is explaining, Ha'asham means the Keren, should be given Levad, aside, before the carbon is brought. B'chlal, from here we see, the B'kesav Ereshoi, the money is given first. Ask one of the Rabbanim to Rava, Elama'ata. If that's the way we're explaining the word Mavad, the Torah uses by the Musaf. On Pesach, the Pasuk says the words, Mavad Oilas Habaita Shal Oilat Atamid Tasus Eila. Should we also explain, Hachinami Mechlal the Musaf and Beresha, that Mavad comes to teach us, there the Pasuk is teaching us about the carbon Musaf should be brought, and also the carbon Tamid Shal Shachar should be brought. Does it mean that the carbon Musaf should be brought first? Hachinami Mechlal the Musaf and Beresha doesn't mean that the carbon Musaf is brought first. For Tanya, then we learn a Braisa, Melayin Shloye Dover, no other carbon is brought before the Tamid Shal Shachar is brought. We learn from the word ha'oila, and many Rishonim, Machlokes Rishonim, how to explain this. Rashi explains we learn it from the extra hay, Another pshat is that the first carbon the Klai Yisrael brought by Har Sinai was the Oilus Tamid, and therefore it always remains that the Oilus Tamid should bring the first carbon. Or another pshat that Taisus suggests in Sechba Metzia, that the first carbon that they brought when they inaugurated the Mizbeach was a carbon oila, and therefore it always remains that the first carbon that's brought every day is the carbon oila satamit. So we see that that's not the way to understand the word umavad. So he says, how do we know that the money should be given before the carbon is brought? And no, meshiachapaba nafkalei. First, vadayin lo kipalei, he, that means he has not had the kapara. He has not brought the carbon when the money is brought. That means the money is brought first. The Paiskim say, for here we see that the din is that the carbon oilus tamid is always the first carbon. So the Paiskim discuss a situation where somebody came to shul very late, and they were on a Shabbos Yontif, and they were already davening up to Musaf. What should he do? Should he daven Musaf with the Tzibur to fulfill Tefillah B'Tzibur with Musaf and afterwards daven Shachris? Or should he daven Shachris first, because Shachris is corresponding to the Oilus Tamid Shel Boker, and our Gemara just taught us that the Oilus Tamid Shel Boker is always the first carbon that's brought. So the Machsa Avram, and they saw that the Igros Moshe Paskin, based on our Gemara, that even though he's up, the tzibur is up to Musaf, he should daven Shachris first. The Bar Yitzchak says, specifically, if such were to occur on a Rish Chodesh that comes out during the week, so he has two Shmona Esrei to daven. The Shmona Esrei of Shachris, which has 18, 19 brachas, versus the Shmona Esrei Musaf, which only has 7 brachas, certainly under those circumstances, you should daven Shachris before Musaf. The Mishnah said, Nosan lay a Keren. We know that the Gazlan has to give Keren, Chaimish, and a carbon Asham. The Mishnah said, however, that the Chaimish is not essential. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know it? So Gemara says, we bring it from the halacha of Asham Ilis. The halacha is, if somebody is moil by Hegdish, he misappropriated Hegdish, the din is, again, he has to give Keren the Chaimish, and he also bring a carbon asham. Menayin shem hevi milosa v'lehevi shamai. So says the Brisa, how do we know if somebody brought the money but he didn't bring the carbon asham when he was moil behegdish? Or ashamai v'lehevi milosa, he brought the carbon asham but he didn't return the money shlo yotza tamalaymer be'el ha'asham v'nesachlay. He has to have both. How do you know if he brought the carbon asham before returning the money, he also has not been yotza? That means asham, we know, always means the keren, as we'll see soon. First you have to give the money, and then the carbon. Says the Brisa further, that you have to have the carbon and the money in order to have the kaparo. So too is the chaimish essential. Tamalaymer be'el ha'oshem in the sechlai. Ayel means the carbon for oshem, and the keren ma'akvim behegdish are essential for him to have the carbon. However, vein chaimish ma'akiv, the chaimish is not essential. Concludes the Brisa. The Yilmet Hegdish Mehejit, we learned halachas of Hegdish from Hegdit, the Hegdit, and we learned certain halachas of Gezel from the din of Mi'ila. Hegdish Mehejit, the din that we learn Mi'ila from Gezela, is Ma Osham, the Hasam Karen, just like as we've been explaining by Gezela, the word Osham refers to the money. Af Osham the Hacha, so too do we say by Sham Mi'ilas that the word Osham that the Torah uses refers to the Karen. The Hedge Mehegdish, and then we learn Halacha of Gzela from the Halacha of Me'ila. Ma Hegdish, just like we finished proving in this Brisa, that by Hegdish, Ein Chaimish Ma'akiv, the Chaimish is not essential. Af Hedget Nami, so to by Hedget is the Halacha, the Ein Chaimish Ma'akiv, the Chaimish is not essential. Hanu Locha Goizel Eitzim. We begin the Ezer Hashem Yizbarach, the last parak of our Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Hagoizel Umachel is Bonav. And as the Mefarshim explained, since we just have been discussing various halachas of gezeila, our Mishnah continues in teaching us halachas of gezeila. So, guys, lamachlos banav, if somebody steals and he feeds something to his children, v'niach lefneim, or he left it to them as yerusha, p'turim el shalom, they don't have to return it to the owner. However, m'haya davashesh by achrayis, and we'll soon, amit Hashem, learn in the Gemara what is pshat davashesh by achrayis, then the halacha is chayav l'shalom, they do have to pay. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, gozal v'loy nishyashu habaylam, if somebody stole and the owner was not yet miyash, or bought achar for ochel memeno, and somebody else came and ate what was taken or was stolen, the halach is rotz mezeh goyva, the victim has a right to collect from the person who stole it from him, or rotz mezeh goyva, he has a right to collect it from the one who ate it. My tama, what's the reason? Because kal kama deloy nishyash ba'alim, as long as the owner was not miyash, b'rishusa demarikai, it's still considered as if it's by the owner, and therefore either one of these two individuals have to pay for the item that was stolen. Of course, point out to Rishayim that even though Rav Chisda is saying that either of these individuals have to pay for it, it doesn't mean that he could get paid twice. He could collect either from the actual gazlan or from the person that got it from the gazlan. There's a shaila in the Rishayim, what would be the halacha if the person who received it from the gazlan was not aware that this was a stolen item? Will the same halacha apply or not? Many Rishonim suggest it's only if the person who received it was aware that it was a stolen item would this be the din. But if he wasn't aware that it was a stolen item, then the same din doesn't apply. Machna Ephraim doesn't agree with that opinion. Then there's another fundamental machlokes Rishonim. What would be the din if somebody stole the item, somebody stole food, and he served that food to his children? He served that food. Is that considered a situation that he's chayiv, that the gazlan could collect from the children who got it because the father's serving them and they had no way of knowing that the father served them food that was stolen? Or even if they knew that it was stolen, are they going to be held responsible? The Baal Hamor says that the children who have served, or anyone who served food under such a circumstance, will not be held responsible. The Raiva disagrees, and the Stipler actually suggests that the machloikis of the Baal Hamor and Raivid is based on a machloikis between the Ktzois and the Nesivos, because the Ktzois asks, the Nesivos asks, that in our Gemara the second person is no worse than a goynif menaganif, that we know that halacha is a goynif menaganif is potter. So why here does Rav Chisda say they have this victim has a right to go to the second individual? So the Ktzois explains that the reason the victim has a right to go to the second individual is because the second individual, even though he's not considered a gazlan, he is considered a mazik, and because he's a mazik, the victim has a right to make a claim against him. The Nesivos disagrees. The Nesivos says that the din of agoynif menaganif doesn't apply when the second individual did something more than the first individual. So in our Gemara, since he ate the food, the gazlan didn't eat it, he ate it, then he is considered a gazlan. The others explain the din of goynim and a ganef is potter is only regarding hilchas kefil, but divadi he's a ganef. So now let's understand. According to the Ktzois, that the second individual is a mazik, whether it was intentional, whether he intended to be a gazlan or not, he is a mazik. So therefore we can understand the opinion that says that he's a mazik even if he was eating it because somebody served it to him as a dinner. If we say it was like the Nesivos, that it's considered a gazlan, there we could understand that if he didn't intend to steal, he was just served it as a meal, then he won't be considered a gazlan. Tanan Asked the Gemara, we just learned in our Mishnah, Hagoyzel u'machel is bonov, if somebody steals something and gives it to his children, v'neich lefneim, or he left it to them, to Yerusha, is p'tur m'lashalim, the potter from paying. So again, the question of the Gemara is based on the machloikas of the Baal Amor and the Raivin. According to the Baal Amor, the question is going from the Sefer. That here in the Sefer it says that the father left the stolen item as a Yerusha for the children. Why? As the Halacha Ptur Mil Shalom. According to the Raivid, the question is even from the Reisha. Because the Reisha says that even though he served it to the children, but we just learned that according to the Raivid, even if the Gazlan serves the food to the children become responsible to pay. So why is the Mishnah say Ptur Mil Shalom? Isn't this a Tiyuf to the Rav Chisda? Amalok Rav Chisda, responds Rav Chisda, Ki Tanya Hi, what was the din of the Mishnah referring to? Lachi Yish. Chisda only spoke about Lifnei Yish. Lachi Yish, he will agree that they don't have to pay. The Mishnah continued saying, Im Enich Lifneiem, Pturim L'Shalem. If he left before them the stolen item, they don't have to pay. Amar Rami Bachama, explains Rami Bachama, Zoysomeris, from our Mishnah we see, Rishus Yairish, Krishus Lekeich Dami. That we have here Shini Rishus. When somebody receives something as Yerusha, it's as if he bought it, and since it changed Rishus, even if it's still in existence, he doesn't have to pay back to the original owner. Rav Amar, Rav disagrees, however. He says, Rishus Yairish, Lach Krishus Lekeich Dami. That a Yorish is not considered like a Lokayach. And the Achronim explain what is the basis of the Machlaikas, how we look at a Yorish. So the Machlaikas says, do we look at as a Yorish as a new Rishus, or do we look as a Yorish as a continuation of the previous Rishus, as a continuation of the one that he's Yashning from? The man Domina holds Rishus, Ram Bachama holds Rishus Yorish Kishus Lakayach. He says that it's like a sale, where it goes from the seller to the buyer. It goes from one Rishus to another Rishus. So to the Yorish is considered a new Rishus. Rava, on the other hand, holds it's not a new Rishus, it's just a continuation of the previous Rishus. Rava Amar, Rishus Yorish Lav Kishus Lakayach Tami. What are we dealing with in our Mishnah? Kisha Achlam, where the Yorshim ate it, and since the Yorshim ate it, they don't have to return it. Ask the Gemara, Hamidik Tani Sefer, what the Sefer said, Im Hayadav Shiesh Baichrayas, if it was real property, Chayav Mushalim, that they do have to pay. Vim Mechlal, the Reish B'Gzeil Kiyam Saskinen. The Gemara understands the Mishnah at this point that Nechos M'Shesh B'Achrayis is not the typical explanation that we always give. Nechos M'Shesh B'Achrayis meaning real estate. Rather, what it means over here, understands the Gemara, that if it's something identifiable that it belonged to the victim, they have to return it. So we see that we're talking about something that's identifiable, that it belonged to the victim, and you have to return it. So how do we understand explaining that it's not in existence anymore? Amalach Rava. So Rava said that's not the way to understand the Mishnah. Rather, Hachikama. The way to understand the Mishnah is, if the father left them real estate, the way we always explain Achrayis Nechasim, Chayavim L'Shalom. Ask the Gemara, for Masmei Reb Shimon Le Rebbe Le Shimon Vrei, didn't Rebbe teach his son Reb Shimon that don't understand the Mishnah Loi Dovah Shesh Baichrayis Mamish, that it means, as in the traditional sense, something that it means real estate. Ella Fila Parav Chayrishba, if it was a cow that everybody's plowing with, Chamor Umechamer Achmar, a donkey that's being used as a guide, chayav lahachser, they have to be returned. So we see it's not a chrayis meaning real estate, it rather means a chrayis, something that's identifiable, and it has to be returned because of covet of the father. So Mefarshim ask, firstly, why do we have to be concerned of the covet of the father if the father was a ganif? So that the answer referring that there's no chiv kibun of aim. She'ena oisem mas amcha, we've learned many times. So that they explain that here pshat is that the father, the tshuva. But then, the Achroinim asks, the Rebbe Chanan asks, that we know the halacha is that the obligation of kibur of aim is mishal aviv. You have to use the father's money to fulfill kibur of aim. But you don't have to use your own resources to fulfill the mitzvah kibur of aim. So why over here does he have to use the money that he received as Yerusha to fulfill kibur of aim? So I saw two terutzim to this question. One is that this is no different than any other situation that we've learned many times, that after someone passes away, his yorshim still have the obligation of paying off his debts. And this is considered like a debt of the father. Another pshat that Rabbi Chanan suggests is that, yes, one is not obligated to show covet to his father out of his own resources. But here we're now referring to showing cover to the father. Here we're talking about the bizyonis, the embarrassment of his father, that his father will be labeled a ganif. Bizyonis, to avoid embarrassing one's father, somebody has to use his own resources. Ella Amar Rava, says Rava, I don't explain the Mishnah like Rebbe taught his son Reb Shimon. Rather, says Rava, Kishechivna, when I will pass away, Rav Oishi and Nafik Lavasi, Rav Oishi will come out to greet me. The Teritzna Masnisen Kavasei, because I explain the Mishnah as the way he explains the Mishnah. The Taner Rav Oishi, Hagoyz Lamachos Bonov, if somebody robs and feeds it to his children, Ptur Milshalim, they're not Mechuyif to pay. Hinich Lefneim, if you left them over Yerusha, is Daloch, if the Gzel is Kayemes, if the stolen property is still in existence, chayovim, the mechuyiv to pay back to the owner, ain't exel kiyemis, but if the gzela is no longer in existence, pturim, the potter. But if the father left over real estate, then the halach is, chayovim l'shalem, they're obligated to pay. Ask the Gemara, Omamar, the Brisa just said, en exel kiyemes, that the exel is no longer in existence, paturim, name it to you after the Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda says that if they got it before Yiyush, they do have to return it. Amalach Rav Chisda answers Rav Chisda, kitanya hi. This Brisa is referring to a situation where they ate it after Yiyush, that even Rav Chisda agrees that they don't have to return it. So the Gemara said, that Rav said, that when he will pass away, Rabbi Oishi will come out to greet him, because he explained the Mishnah according to Rabbi Oishi's interpretation. So Tosis points out that Rava only had a right to say this because he consistently tried to explain Mishnayis and tried to follow the opinion of Rabbi Oishi. Just because he followed the opinion of Rabbi Oishi in one situation doesn't mean that Rabbi Oishi will come out to greet him. As Mefarshim explained, only when you do something on a consistent basis does that show a pattern, a positive pattern of behavior. However, other Mefarshim go on to explain, Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid explains that whenever somebody explains, defends the opinion of a Tana or an Amira, or any body for that matter, that person will come to greet him when he leaves this world. And as the Meshech Chachm explains why, he says once a person is no longer in this world, we know he can no longer learn Torah, he can no longer do mitzvahs. But that neshama still wants to reach Shleimus. How is able to reach Shleimus, says the Meshech Chachm, by us learning his Torah, by us repeating his Divrei Torah, we help him attain Shleimus. And along the same lines, says the Sefer Chassidim, if Chas V'Shalom, to the contrary, if somebody tries to not treat respectfully the Divrei Torah of someone who's no longer here, that neshama is unhappy with the person who acts that way. But says the Pelayoyitz, this doesn't only apply, as Al Gemara says, that Rav said then when he'll leave the world, Rav Oishia will come to greet him. Before we go further, the Megillah Shleima says a tremendous story in the Hagdama of the Megillah Shleima. It's written that when the Megillah Shleima was about to pass away, and he lived in Krakow, he was the Rav in Krakow, and many important people and his family were sitting around the bed as he was about to pass away. He said, "Leave a chair available for Rashi." Said the Megillah Shleima, "Since I, so many times in my Sefer, defend and try to explain the opinion of Rashi, Rashi is coming here to greet me as I leave the world." But says the Pele Yoitz, as I was about to say, this is not only as a person is about to leave the world, but if a person, says the Pele Yoitz, in this world spends time repeating the Divrei Torah of Tanoa, Mamaroyim, Rishonim, and Achroinim, who are no longer here, all of those great individuals daven and speak and protect that individual because he is repeating their Divrei Torah, and they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that those individuals should have Yeshua v'Hatzlacha.